Good morning. It is 10:03 a.m. on Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Crispin, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krashus and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. The only opening comments I would have is that yesterday in D.C., the administration released the new Clean Energy Act to replace the Clean Power Plan. And with our really, really hectic schedule yesterday and then last-minute preparations for this meeting, I certainly haven't had a chance to go over it thoroughly. But for those that have, all the reviews seem to indicate that this is a much more workable plan for moving forward. So I, for one, am very excited about that. Commissioner Krashus.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I had the opportunity last, I believe it was last Wednesday, to go on the Follow the Barrel tour. Hess actually put it on and invited Ag Commissioner was there, Superintendent Public Instruction was there, and then individual from the Land Department was there as well. So it was incredibly interesting, and you think that you have a really good handle on how product flows from the wellhead to the processing plants and then to the various markets. But I walked away definitely with a broader knowledge and was able to see some things behind the scenes that normally you wouldn't, but I think it'll be valuable for me personally as I look at some of the cases going forward and just having a greater understanding of the process. So I appreciate that opportunity to go on that tour and learn more about our oil and gas industry.
Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchek.
Excellent. Just to add on to the comments on the Clean Power Plan, I too have not had a chance to review it real in depth and up close, but from what the reports are saying, it emphasizes states' rights and the state's role in taking a lead on these issues and air quality issues, and I think that that has proven to be a really positive plan in the past on other issues, and so I'm pleased to see EPA and the federal government moving in that direction again. The people who are working at the state level certainly have the highest vested interest in clean air in their area, and so they're going to take a close look and work hard to achieve the goals and also to do things that don't disrupt the economy, don't disrupt the state's industries, and allow for the best collaboration amongst the players in the state and regionally as well. So I think that that's a step in the right direction. And interestingly, one of the reports that I saw showed or said that ultimately the change in the emissions between the plan that was proposed yesterday and the previous really onerous regulatory scheme is just minuscule. So I think that we can get a lot of the same results in a more effective manner, and I'm pleased to see things going in that direction.
That does seem to be much more in tune with the system that was in place that caused us to make so much progress on sulfur and NOx and mercury and particulate matter and such. So I'm excited about it. Okay, we have four items on consent plus approval of previous minutes, and I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. First agenda item, then. I move the commission adopt the order in case number GE-18-306, acknowledging the expiration of roving grain buyer license number 3214 on July 31st of this year and the automatic discontinuance of business of the Helmsman Group, LLC, doing business as Agmark, as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota on August 1st, 2018, for failing to file the required license renewal in a timely manner.
Second.
Our century code provides that a roving grain buyer license expires on July 31st of every year. And our administrative code provides that an application that's not received in a timely manner will result in the automatic discontinuance of the business on August 1st. Way back on April 9th, the Helmsman Group, and as I said, doing business as Agmark, notified the commission that they were no longer going to conduct business in the state. Again, April 9th. On April 24th, the link to our request to discontinue business form was emailed to them. 3 months later, on July 24th, and then again on July 31st, follow-up emails were sent to the licensee, and on July 31st, a phone call was made to the licensee requesting an update on that submittal of the request to discontinue business form. On July 31st, an email was received from the business, from the licensee, outlining their inability to file the request to discontinue business form and acknowledging the automatic discontinuance of business. So staff recommends the commission adopt an order acknowledging the expiration of roving grain buyer license number 3214 on July 31st and automatic discontinuance of business effective August 1st for failing to file in a timely manner. I also want to point out when I was told that they had said in their email that they were unable to file the discontinue business form, I immediately wondered whether our relatively new electronic system was troublesome to them. I mean, they had made clear they didn't want to continue, but it would be much more preferable if they filed a discontinuance rather than just letting it expire. And so I asked our staff, and I tell you, this is just one tiny example, but it reminds me of what makes me so proud to come to work each day and be a part of this team. In their response to this, where they said that they were unable to file it, it wasn't a technical problem. It's just that the right people for the company weren't available to do it. And so, I mean, they had made clear they didn't want to continue, but they just weren't there to discontinue it. And in the email, she says, thanks for your time today, following up on the phone conversation with an exclamation point, and points out how Shelley had kindly shared the request to discontinue business link. And so it's a small example, but I think we see it every day out of various people from our staff. In this case, it's Shelley Bowski. I just appreciate the good work that our team does. So anyway, moving forward, we need to approve this discontinuance, I hope.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Crashes.
All right, thank you. I move the commission approve the decommissioning plan and cost estimate, but reserve judgment on the plan for financial assurance filed May 25th, 2018, in Sunflower Wind Project, LLC, Wind Energy Conversion Facility, Stark & Morton. Decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-16-661.
Second.
Okay, on this particular project, this decommissioning plan is for an existing facility that was constructed and put into use prior to January 1st, 2017. So it's a little bit different, not in terms of what the company has to do in terms of reclaiming the land, which would include removal of the structures, removal of roads, removal of concrete to a depth of 48 inches, removal of overhead lines, grading to match the surrounding terrain, reseeding the disturbed ground. And, of course, one of the things that could change on that is if the landowner wanted a particular road left in. And that's a landowner issue. It's at their discretion. It's their land, after all. And some might want a particular road left in. But in terms of financial assurances that will have to be a part of this particular decommissioning plan, they filed the plan as we asked them to do. We asked everyone to file by January or July 1st, 2018, I believe was the date this past summer. But again, since this was constructed prior to July 1st, 2017, they don't have to have a financial assurance in place until year 10 of operation. So at that point in time, prior to that, they will have to refile, update the decommissioning plan, and also demonstrate that financial assurances will be in place. And, of course, we will have to approve the plan at that point in time as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, I did miss one point I want to add, and that is the cost estimate for their plan was consistent with others. In fact, it was actually a little bit higher at just over $147,000 per turbine. They also have, while we don't take it into account, they also have the salvage value factored in, but even with salvage value factored in, estimated salvage value, they would still be at just about $127,000 per turbine. I'm more inclined to look, of course, at the first number, but very much in line with the $125,000 to $135,000 mark that we saw from other filings.
Is there any further discussion?
I will just say that this project is in some very rough terrain out there, so I don't know. I didn't get into the reasons why it's higher, but I expect terrain has probably a lot to do with it.
Yeah, the company also indicated that they were being aggressive in terms of their cost estimates, erring on the side of caution. So, but terrain definitely will impact decommissioning costs.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and I have one more item. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Economic Development Tariff, case number PU-17-238.
Second.
On May 30th, 2017, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for approval of an economic development rider. On July 12th, 2017, the commission suspended the tariff and rates filed on May 30th, 2017. Then on November 27th, 2017, Otter Tail Power filed a revised tariff for the economic development rider. And on December 20th, 2017, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until January 24th, 2018 to receive comments or requests for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. On February 28, 2018, the Commission held an informal hearing to discuss the application with Otter Tail Power and advocacy staff. On June 21, 2018, Otter Tail Power filed a revised tariff for the economic development rider and did so again on August 7, 2018. The proposed economic development rider establishes a formula for calculating an economic development rate. It's a time-limited discount that Otter Tail Power can offer to eligible new customers or eligible existing customers, expanding their electric load in cases where the customer has demonstrated it is seeking rate offers from various utilities. Eligible customers, if they're a new customer, with an expected meter demand of at least 500 kilowatts at a single metering point, they can be offered the economic development rider or the rate discount. Existing customers with a metered demand or with metered demands of at least 1,000 kilowatt hours have to increase their demand load or the demand by at least 500 kilowatts at a single new metering point. So, you know, just breaking that down to really simple terms, new customers have to utilize at least 500 kilowatts. Existing customers would have to be utilizing 1,000 kilowatts currently and then expanding by another 500 kilowatts. The maximum discount period for this rate is 5 years, with gradual steps each year taking the discounted rate closer to the standard rate. And it's also important to point out that Otter Tail will not seek additional revenue as a part of this rate, and it will not be subsidized by other customer classes. It still has to be above cost of service. AuditTail will provide annual filings that will confirm its compliance, and any proposed rates offered to customers do have to be approved by the commission. So even though this formula is in place, we still, as a commission, would have to approve that rate before it would be able to be put into effect. Just on one thing that I've heard in some of the rate cases, companies talk about competitiveness, and competitiveness in terms of attracting business to a particular region, in our case, North Dakota. So I like the concept of an economic development rider on a limited basis. This is for a period of 5 years. I like it because it helps to incent and attract new business to our state, and it's not at the expense of existing customers that, in this case, AuditTail serves. So we're always trying to, as a state, I believe, look for ways to be more attractive from a business standpoint, and utility rates for larger businesses definitely come into play in terms of overall cost of doing business. So if this can help overall in terms of bringing some new business into the state or incenting existing businesses to expand, it's very beneficial from an economic standpoint, and it helps grow our economy, which I think everyone is in favor of.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, this is an issue that we talked about quite a lot, actually, and you can tell that by the length of time it's taken us to come to a decision. And I think that ultimately there was a lot of good discussion about the merits of this approach and why we might go down this path. And ultimately, there's two components to this that I think warrant our supporting this order today, and that is this is about attracting new large loads, the industrial-type customers, and the company showing that they're trying to do that and demonstrating that by the company having to show that they're seeking competitive rates elsewhere in other places. And then secondly, the cost, and Brian covered this a number of times, but can't emphasize it enough, that the cost to serve the customer, both in terms of energy and any system upgrades, will be covered by whatever they're charged, plus a rate of return as well. So the rate will be set to cover those items, so it doesn't cost other existing customers anything to provide this lower rate to the new customer. And ultimately, bringing on a new high-demand customer has a lot of benefits to all existing customers. And so I think it's a win for everyone, and I'm happy to have gotten to this point in the discussion with the company, and I'm happy to support this today.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I just have one item. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filings and public hearing in Highland Partners Holdings LLC Roosevelt Gas Plant Expansion Project McKinsey Siting Application Case Number PU-18-277.
Second.
Thank you, Ryan. Highland Partners Holdings LLC has filed applications for a certificate of site compatibility concerning the location for the expansion of an existing gas processing facility, the Roosevelt Gas Plant in McKenzie County, North Dakota. The nameplate processing capacity of the plant will expand from 60 million standard cubic feet per day to 260 million standard cubic feet per day, and the primary products at the plant are residue gas and natural gas. A public hearing on the applications for this case is scheduled for September 27th at 10 a.m. Central Time at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. And anybody who has input or concerns or wants to talk to us about this project should participate in that hearing again on September 27th at 10 a.m. in Wofford City, Teddy's Residential Suites. This facility is located southeast of Wofford City in McKenzie County. It's a $150 million expansion. It will take place entirely on the existing site. And it, the existing facility was constructed in 2015, put in service in 2016. And it currently, as I said, has a gross capacity of 60 MCF. And this new facility will have a gross capacity of 260, but a net capacity of 200 MCF per day. And they hope to begin construction in later this year and hope to be operational by November of 2019, you know, pending the them receiving all the approvals that they're needed for this project. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the flaring targets and the challenges that the industry faces in meeting those and some of the restrictions that our gas processing and takeaway capacity place on production. And projects like this really help to alleviate those restrictions and open up the ability for the producers to produce as much as they can. So these kinds of projects are important. We'll go through it thoroughly and hopefully hear from the public if anyone has concerns. And we'll hopefully get to a decision quickly so that the company can make plans accordingly.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Not to echo my previous thoughts on these, because it's going to sound a lot like those comments, but it's just another example of how quickly things continue to evolve in the Bakken in terms of natural gas production, and then how does that gas handled, processed, and then ultimately sent to market. I think when we're looking at the forecast models in terms of how much natural gas will actually be coming out of the Bakken, we're still only partway there, even with all of these new facilities. I think now there are six in recent memory that have been proposed and are coming online or will come online, and then we'll see where this one lands as well through the process. But there's just a tremendous amount of natural gas production that's taking place in the Williston Basin, and I think it's one of those situations where the advent of fracking we really didn't know how much natural gas would be coming from the wellhead, and it keeps increasing exponentially. So it's not just a short term, but it's really a long term challenge for industry, as Commissioner Fedorchuk points out on the flaring front.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That's it for me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. The only announcement that I have is that our next regular scheduled commission meeting is 2 weeks from today on a Wednesday like normal, at 10 o'clock like normal, right here in this room by normal, like normal. And all that being so normal over the course of the summer has become kind of an anomaly. So that I should announce that one. That concludes with the announcements. I will. We will stand in recess for questions from the press, followed by a short break, and then we'll resume with the administrative portion of the meeting. So we are in recess.
Okay, talking about the Otter Tail Economic Development Rider, is Otter Tail the only one, or do the other IOUs have that too?
I believe MDU has.
MDU certainly
has one.
I'm not sure about NSP.
Yeah, I'm thinking NSP does not have one. Jerry, can you confirm?
I don't think they do.
MDU doesn't as well?
MDU does. We've approved some for MDUs, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Now with Sunflower having their decommissioning plan, does that take care of all of them now that are?
No.
No?
No, there's still more work to be done in terms of Jerry, do you have a ballpark on where we're at?
We've
you know, I think it's just a great time to just give a shout out to staff when you think about the decommissioning plans, when you think about the TCJA analysis, both in existing rate cases and then on a standalone basis for companies that didn't have a rate case before the commission, and the rate cases themselves, obviously. It's an incredibly heavy load, and I continue to be amazed when I'm out and about speaking on occasion. People ask what the size of the staff is, and then they ask how does it compare to other states, and they're absolutely amazed and, you know, quite frankly impressed with how much we get done and how fast the commission moves in comparison. So kudos to the staff. I know a lot of them are listening in right now, and of course, fellow commissioners. It's a good organization, as Randy said earlier, to be a part of.
That's why I'm clear then. All the plans have been submitted, but you're not ready to approve them yet, or are there plans you're waiting on to be submitted?
I believe we're waiting on
MDU asked for an extension, didn't, and so we don't have those. And then Jerry's, you've got a sheet that kind of tracks them all that we could pull out for you, Dave, and look at that.
And what would have happened to Helmsman had the commission not voted in favor of your motion? I'm just curious.
Well, I think it probably they would be out of business anyway, because they would have been in violation of the law to reapply. One thing that I did not mention in the case was we had looked back and they had not been buying for quite a long time anyways, so never researched it too much, but they would have been without a license regardless. This is more of an acknowledgement.
Have you ever had any cases that you know of where you had a roving grain buyer buying grain without a license, or their license expired and they forgot to renew it?
I think we have had some reports of people, and usually they turn out to be mistaken things, but there have been times when yes, we've been notified of someone who is operating, oftentimes in a pretty small manner, where they just never real, you know, maybe a producer that bought a neighbor's grain or something to bunch it, didn't really realize they needed to be licensed. We notify them, and as we do in various parts of this agency, tend to try and work to get people into compliance than to find a way to bust somebody. And, you know, when nothing has really been done that caused anyone a problem, it's just a matter of they didn't technically have a license. We either make sure that they cease doing that activity or go through the process and become licensed.
Dave, this time of year might be a good time to consider doing a story reminding folks of the resources that we have for them to do their own sort of background checks on the potential people that they're going to be doing business with and selling their commodities. We have our website, and people can look up, you know, who is licensed and bonded, and they could talk to our staff about any concerns that they have. But there is a system in place to provide a safety net for producers selling to various elevators in the state and roving grain buyers, but it's not always going to provide 100% recovery if you end up selling to somebody who goes insolvent, and in fact it often doesn't provide 100% recovery. So the best insurance is for people to do their own homework and their own research on who they're doing business with to make sure they have a high level of comfort in doing so before they make a commitment to sell or drop off product.
Yeah. A scenario where someone could be operating without a license underscores the importance of the grain inspection licensing program. It's an unsettling thought to think that that might happen, but the world doesn't always operate in a manner that we would expect, and people don't always behave the way they should behave.
Anything else?
That'll do.
Okay. We will reconvene at 20 minutes to 11.